Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, a podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of the Conversation, I'm chatting with Mandy Burton. She is a respiratory epidemiologist in the Department of Epidemiology and Population Health, the Fairfax County Health Department. And congratulations to me, Mandy. I got through epidemiologist and epidemiology without messing up too badly.
That's great.
Yeah. Thanks for being here on the podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Looking forward to the conversation. A timely one here as we actually are kind of now starting into the fall season. And we're going to talk about respiratory illnesses. So I guess first, definition, what is a respiratory illness?
A respiratory illness?
You don't have to be clinical, just, you know.
Sure. Well, I think probably all of our listeners have experienced some cold, you know, flu. Maybe you have a fever, cough, sniffly nose, sore throat, any of those things. Mm. Three of the ones that we typically look at, or I do within my purview, is COVID, flu, and RSV. And I'm sure those are ones that your listeners are pretty familiar with. Yeah. So, hard to believe that we're at the end of summer now and looking at respiratory season just coming around the corner. Yeah. So,
well, and those are the three we're going to talk about today, flu, COVID, and RSV. And we chatted momentarily before we got started rolling. And I said, which one should we start with? And honestly, I can't remember if we decided on one, but what is the one we should focus on right now, given the time of year we're talking?
Sure. Well, we can talk about COVID because that is what is making the waves right now. And by waves, I mean like a summer wave. Yeah, oh, we're seeing an increase in COVID. Oh, so one of the things that we do is we track respiratory illness in the county. So someone might go to an urgent care or an emergency department with respiratory symptoms and, you know, they get a diagnosis. Well, the health department gets that diagnosis. So we're, not as interested in the individual cases, but as a whole across the county, what sort of trends are we seeing? So right now, flu and RSV are really low. We haven't really kind of entered the season for them. But typically, we do have a wave of COVID in the summer, and that's what we're seeing right now. So over the past 5 or 6 weeks, we've kind of seen a slow increase in the percent of emergency care visits and urgent care visits and emergency department visits of people who are diagnosed with COVID. So definitely seeing an increase in COVID activity. It's not unusual this time of year. Like I said, it's usually, kind of twice a year, once in the summer, and then later again, we usually see an increase in over the winter months.
And is there an explanation for summer?
It's a good question. I think, at this time, a lot of the protection that you might have gotten from your vaccine last fall is kind of worn off. There may be different variants that are circulating. You do have a lot of summer plans where you're traveling and getting together with people. And so, yeah, these are just some of the reasons why it can pop up again.
You mentioned vaccine wearing off. Is COVID vaccine something you should do every year?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes. For those who are eligible, getting a vaccine every year is going to help renew that protection that you got. Mm. You know, when you get your COVID vaccine, you get most of your protection in the first like 4 to 6 months after you get your dose. So in order to keep up with that protection, getting vaccinated every year is recommended. And then also it can help because, every year, kind of like flu, we have different variants that are out there and the vaccine manufacturers will tailor the dose each year to whatever variants are currently circulating. So the current dose is going to give you the most updated protection that you can get. Yeah.
I was going to ask about that, if it was similar to a flu shot, because it seems like the flu, they always kind of update it or change it every year.
Yeah, they update it every year, or they have so far. And we just have the past five years of data for COVID. But that's historically what has happened.
Since we're talking about COVID and we see a spike in summer and then spike or more cases later into the winter, maybe the congregation of people is not as much in the winter, or maybe they're congregating inside where it's warm. I mean, any thoughts or risks that we're thinking about when we enter the winter?
So in the winter, cases will usually kind of pick up again. And over the winter months, COVID and flu and RSV really can overlap. Mm. But a lot of that is because the weather is getting colder. People are congregating indoors more. There's some holiday travel. So definitely after, Thanksgiving might see an uptick in cases, or over the winter holiday months, there can be an increase in cases as well. I think that's... that all contributes to when those viruses are circulating.
Okay. Might be applicable to COVID. It might cover all three of our topics today, COVID, flu, and RSV. Tips or suggestions or things for people to stay healthy as we enter the fall and winter to avoid getting a respiratory illness?
Yeah, absolutely. There are no surprises here. They're all things that you've heard before.
Let me guess, wash your hands.
Yeah. Ding, ding. You got it right. Washing your hands. I mean, that's one of the most important things we can do to stay healthy. So always have to mention that, making sure that you're kind of covering your coughs and sneezes. And one thing as well is if you are feeling sick, stay home. So if you've got respiratory symptoms and you're not feeling well, stay home and rest until it's been 24 hours since your last fever. And that's without any fever reducing medication. And also 24 hours since you started feeling better. So give it a little time to where you're starting to feel like you're recovering, and then you can kind of go back to your regular activity. And the recommendation is to, once you go back to school or to work, is to take a little extra care not to pass it to the people around you, your coworkers or your schoolmates. So if you're willing to wear a mask, that can help, socially distancing from others, those kind of things, to give yourself some extra protection. I'm thinking back, probably a month or so ago, I was sick. It was not COVID. I did test for that. It's always the first thing that comes to my mind. But it's always a challenge when you're at home and a family trying not to spread it to other people that you live with. So, some of the things that I did that I think we can do, just not eating together with a family. I would take my meal in a different room of the house, mm-hmm. or even go outside. I slept on the sofa a few nights, which was a little painful, but just trying to not get my spouse sick. My son carries an inhaler. So when I'm, traveling, getting him around town, I roll the car windows down a little bit, throw a mask on. So, COVID, flu, these types of respiratory illnesses can really spread when you're in an indoor space, especially if there's not good circulation. So just to the extent that you can, wear a mask if you're willing, or roll down the window, or if you're home, open a window, or you can, turn on a fan. I think it's all about kind of you choosing which of those options kind of work for you, and having a more layered approach to try to stay healthy. So, it's not all perfect. So when we talked a little bit about vaccines, that's one, of the most important ways that you can protect yourself. Mm-hmm. So there are vaccines for COVID, flu, and RSV, kind of our trifecta of respiratory illnesses that we'll see this time of year. But and I can kind of go into the details of those as well. So for flu vaccine,
let's stay with COVID, because had a question I wanted to ask about vaccines. Age differences or age requirements? I mean, is it more important for babies to get it? Is it more important for seniors to get it? Are there any considerations when we're talking COVID vaccine for any different age?
Yeah, there are. And we're at kind of an interesting inflection point right now, because the COVID vaccine rollout has been different this year than it has in previous years. So in previous years, we would have had the ACIP, which is the advisory group for the CDC, meet to kind of make some recommendations on who's eligible. So the CDC would say who's eligible for the vaccine, and then later the FDA would approve the vaccine. And basically they're approving the label and saying, this vaccine is safe and effective. So This year, it's kind of been a little bit in reverse. So the FDA approved it first, and they approved the label with some limited use. So in previous years, it was everyone older than 6 months was recommended to be vaccinated. But the FDA approval was that specifically people who were 65 and older should get vaccinated. Mm. And then anyone under 65 could, if they met at least one conditions from kind of a long list of, of conditions that would put you at higher risk. Gotcha. And those are things you might expect, like being immunocompromised, having diabetes, some health conditions. But there are also some other things that you might not expect, like physical inactivity, obesity, former non-smoker, former or previous smoker, so current. So yeah, that was an interesting change. And at this point, we are now waiting for the ACIP to meet to make the, so that the CDC can make the recommendations of kind of officially rubber stamping and saying this is who's eligible so that insurances know what they're going to cover, what they're going to do. So it's just, just a little bit different this year. That meeting is taking place September 18th, 19th. So we're kind of waiting to hear what the official recommendations are going to be. But it will definitely come with more limitations this year. So I mentioned the 65 and older. That's because those individuals who are 65 and older, most of our hospitalizations and deaths happen among that age group. So they are certainly at risk. Yeah, yeah. Though there are other groups at risk, and there have been other large medical societies, American Academy of Pediatrics, American College of Obstetricians and Gynecology, who have come out with their own recommendations to vaccinate young children and pregnant women. Mm-hmm. So just kind of waiting to see how this all shakes out, but definitely monitoring that situation. And hoping that we'll have COVID vaccines hopefully early October, but we'll see. Yeah,
I just want to jump in here and remind our listeners that we are talking in early September, so the September 18, 19 date I think you mentioned is a few weeks away at the time of our talking. But if you're listening to this podcast in the future, just know that's already happened, and keep those dates in mind as we're conversing. We are on the County Conversation podcast with Mandy Burton from Fairfax County's Health Department. He is a respiratory epidemiologist, and we're talking about COVID, flu, and RSV. So maybe we can move to flu and RSV unless there's something else COVID-related you want to...
No, I'll just say that, if you have any concerns about whether you're eligible to get vaccinated, talk to your healthcare provider.
Yeah. Okay. And RSV and flu and COVID vaccines, before I let you go specifically in the flu and RSV, kind of vaccines all in general, you mentioned healthcare provider. If they don't have a healthcare provider, is that something they go to the health department and actually get at the health department?
Yeah. If someone does not have insurance, then they can go to the health department.
Okay.
Yeah. So we do provide vaccines for people who do not have insurance or who qualify for Medicaid. So there are some restrictions. So we make sure we're kind of getting our more vulnerable populations. But if you do have insurance, you can talk to your provider, talk to your pharmacist to kind of see what those recommendations are. Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed many of the pharmacies I seem to go to or come across seem to be offering free flu shots. So maybe that's a benefit they're trying to provide. I'm not quite sure how that works, but you can get it about anywhere, I think.
Yeah, flu vaccines. I've definitely been getting the text from my local Giant and CVS. I don't know if you have, but heading into kind of flu season here, September, October is the optimal time to get vaccinated. If you're eligible for the COVID vaccine, you can get those at the same time. So
one shot or two different shots?
It's two different shots, but you can get them during the same visit, just so you're not having to make two different trips. Yeah. So I think that's easiest, and that's what I've done in the past. So, but yeah, there. If we're looking at the data, I know I talked about a kind of summer COVID wave. RSV and flu are really low right now, but heading into, October, November, that you'll start to see increases in that. So that's why that kind of September, October timeframe is best for getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
And for flu, that's, you know, everyone ages 6 months and older is recommended to get vaccinated. So that's a pretty straightforward
piece. Right,
and like
right.
you said, there's lots of options at, you know, your local pharmacy. Yeah. So, and all of those kind of healthy habits that we talked about earlier applies to all, you yeah. know, respiratory illnesses. Yeah. So,
okay. When I hear RSV, I don't know if I know what that is, or maybe our listeners, maybe they do, but tell us what RSV is, what it stands for, what it means, what it is, you know, what it is, air quote, is.
Yeah. So, gosh, I should make sure I pronounce it.
RSV stands for something.
Yes. Respiratory syncytial, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly, right. and I'm sorry. I
That's
always
right.
think of it as RSV, and I need to kind of dial that back. But yeah, so this is another respiratory illness. It's particularly, you know, harmful, or, you know, it affects our younger population and our older population.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if we think about the vaccine recommendations, it's for people who are ages 75 and older. People who are ages 50 to 74 who are at higher risk of, of having more severe illness from RSV, with some of those,
pre-existing,
you know,
pre-existing
conditions,
right.
chronic health conditions, yeah. And then also pregnant women, so women who are within a, you know, 32, 36 weeks of pregnancy, I believe, and between September and January should get vaccinated. And then babies who were born to mothers who did not get the vaccine should also get an antibody. And so just making sure that small children are protected, whether through the antibodies that the mother produces given to the baby through vaccination, and our older population. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think RSV is one of the number one causes of hospitalization among babies. And so, yeah, it can be really serious, but really severe. So making sure that people have that protection is really important.
Yeah. I know we've heard of COVID, of course, over the years being severe and can lead to death. And, you know, I think flu and RSV can too, although maybe that's in the, I'm going to put my fingers up here, air quote, kind of rare instances, but deaths can happen from flu and RSV, correct?
Yeah. And, you know, we have many flu deaths, especially across the states every year. I mean, the estimates, CDC, I believe, comes out with those estimates kind of after the flu season, but it can be kind of staggering to see. Yes,
mm-hmm.
we are
wow.
seeing a lot of hospitalizations. We are, you know, still seeing deaths. And I know sometimes we think that it might not be that serious, or that, like, I'm going to get it anyway. But really, whatever protection you can provide is helpful. Especially for those groups who are at higher risk.
Gotcha.
And that's where that kind of that burden of hospitalization and death really lies, is most of the time with those groups who are at higher risk, but not always.
So the best thing you can do is get a vaccine, get yourself vaccinated.
Yeah, get yourself vaccinated. I think, you know, I often hear this, and I, you know, maybe felt it before, but you think, do I have to do another shot? Like, I just did this
right.
last year. Why do I have to keep doing this? You know, but, and some might think, well, I got the shot and I got it anyway. So what's
right.
the point?
Right.
So those are the couple things that I hear most often. But, you know, I like to think of a vaccine in some ways like a seatbelt. We put it on. It doesn't prevent us from getting in a car crash.
Right.
So it's not going to prevent us
right.
from getting sick, you know, but one thing it's really great at is preventing us from getting really severe illness, hospitalization, death.
Mm-hmm.
Just like kind of clicking your seatbelt on when you're in a car, it's going to prevent more serious, you know,
injuries
from
crash,
that
right.
crash, right? So,
okay. And remind our listeners, there is a respiratory illness dashboard within the health department. It's a pretty long address, so how would you recommend folks go and find the dashboard, and what can you find on that respiratory illness dashboard?
Yeah, so honestly, I think the easiest is just to Google Fairfax County Health Department respiratory illness, and that brings you right to the dashboard.
Okay.
So that is something that our team put together last fall, so it's been in production for about a year.
Mm.
When you go there, you're going to see kind of a little gauge that goes from, you know, minimal to very high. And it's going to be kind of an overview of a little bit of a like a weather report, if you will, for Northern Virginia to give you an overview of what the level of disease activity is. So currently it says minimal for Northern Virginia, even though we are having that COVID wave overall. There aren't there isn't as much acute respiratory illness, flu, RSV to kind of compound it. But so you'll see kind of this weather gauge to see where we're at. And then there's different tabs that you can look at so that you can look specifically at COVID trends, flu trends, RSV trends. And then we also have a tab for outbreaks. So you can see like, oh, how many outbreaks have been recorded and, you know, where are those happening? Are they happening in schools? Are they happening in our congregate settings, like a long-term care facility? So, you know, definitely bookmark that page where, you know, that data is publicly available. And
how often is it?
It updates every Tuesday. So every Tuesday, by the end of the day for sure, but usually by 1 o'clock, that information is updated.
Okay. And all that data is coming from, I want to say, publicly available sources. They're the doctors or hospitals or providers are providing you that information.
Yes. So the sources aren't publicly available. They do report that in the health department. We, you know, do surveillance. We monitor that data. But we take that data and make the trends publicly available. So you're not going to see any individual cases, but just overall trends for each of those illnesses. Yeah. And that's all coming from, our urgent care centers and our emergency departments. So, you know, we don't, especially when you think about COVID, we have the at-home test now, so we don't even know like who's testing positive. So, you know, a great indicator for whether there's increases in respiratory illnesses to look at, well, you know, who's seeking emergency care. And if we're seeing increases in the number of people who are seeking emergency care, then you have a good idea that like, okay, we're seeing increases in the community as well.
I feel like we could go on forever and talk about the respiratory illness dashboard and some other things here, but we are kind of bumping up against our time. What haven't I asked you, or what do you want to make sure listeners go away knowing about flu, COVID, RSV as we enter the fall and winter season?
I think I would just reiterate to stay up to date on your vaccines. You know, vaccines are safe. They're worth getting. And it's one of the, if not the best way to protect yourself as we head into this respiratory season. I know, like most of our listeners, nobody has time to be sick. Nobody has the money to go to the hospital. So to the extent that we can control certain things, I think, you know, taking advantage of getting vaccinated is one of the best things we can do.
FairfaxCounty.gov/health. You'll learn more information about COVID, RSV, and flu there, as well as everything else the health department has to offer. And again, just go to FairfaxCounty.gov/health or use your favorite search engine and find the respiratory illness dashboard. Mandy, thanks for being on the podcast. Enjoyed it.
Thanks, John.
That is going to do it for this edition of the County Conversation Podcast. Thanks to Mandy for being here. Thanks to you for listening. To hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, as well as our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. The County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.